Okay, today, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to continue in the second parak of Maseches Challah, and we are up to Mishnayos, Gimel, and Dalet. So Mishnah Gimel discusses that there is a requirement to recite a bracha when one is Mafresh Challah, just like you recite a bracha on any mitzvah. When you recite a bracha, one is not allowed to be exposed to erva. If erva is exposed, it's also to say a bracha in front of erva. So the Mishnah says that anatomically, since men and women are different anatomically, it is possible for a woman to recite a bracha while she is sitting down, as long as she's sitting down, whereas a man cannot recite a bracha if he is not clothed, because by definition a man's erva is going to be exposed when he is not clothed. A woman could sit down and be mafresh challah while she is aruma, while she's not wearing any clothing. And the Bar Tanur points out, v'hu shepana shalmata tochos bekarka v'kol ervasa mechusa, that her bottom part is sort of sunken into the ground, so that her entire erva is covered up. V'ha'gavos ein behamishum erva le'inyin bracha. And as far as the buttocks, which would be exposed still, that's not erva as far as bracha is concerned. It is erva in terms of even tefach b'isha erva, but as far as her making her own bracha, that does not count as erva. The other mefarshim on the side of the page point out that this Bar Tanura seems to be confusing two different lines in the Gemara. The Gemara asks about the agavos, and the Gemara says that it's tochos pekarka, that it's sunken into the ground. So the Gemara seems to be assuming that the agavos are a problem of erva, and that problem is solved by the fact that she's sunken into the ground, not the way the Bar Tanura implies, that only the erva mamish is sunken into the ground and therefore not a problem, and the agavos are inherently not a problem. So that's why they point out that the Bar Tanura seems to be different than what the Gemara says. And the reason that a woman is allowed to be mafresh challah this way is because she can cover herself up, and therefore she's allowed to recite a bracha. Meaning, there's no isser of doing a mitzvah while one is not clothed, but there is an isser of saying a bracha while one is not clothed. And once the chacham were misakin the birchas mitzvah and all the mitzvahs, you're not supposed to do these mitzvahs without a bracha. You're not supposed to rob yourself of the opportunity to recite a bracha. In general, we find very often, of Salvation pointed out, that whenever we take away a birchas mitzvah from a mitzvah, people start being mezalzel in the mitzvah itself. The birchas mitzvah plays a critical role in people's minds psychologically in terms of the mitzvah. For example, a person misses one night of Sfiras HaOmer, so the halach is very clear. You continue to count every other night without a bracha, but you continue to count every other night. You have a requirement to count every other night. What do most people do if they miss a night of Sfiras HaOmer? They just give up. They stop counting. Once you're not going to have a bracha, people are not going to do the mitzvah. Or, for example, the Gemara says that we sit in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, we just don't recite a bracha on Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres. What do many people do? They just don't sit in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres. So that's the idea of a bracha is a very critical part of the mitzvah that the Chamor Masakin, and therefore she can't be Mafresh Challah because she'll be robbing herself of, a man can't be Mafresh Challah when he's not clothed, because he'll be robbing himself of the opportunity to say a bracha. A woman can be Mafresh Challah when she's not clothed, because she will not be robbing herself of the opportunity to say a bracha. She'll still be able to say a bracha. Avalo ha'ish. A man can't do it because just anatomically, a man's erva protrudes from the body and therefore is not going to be covered by the karka. Mishen yochel asos yisaso b'tahara. If a person is unable to make a dough b'tahara, meaning he's tamei and he, for whatever reason, doesn't have memsa'a available, a mikvah of memsa'a available to be tovelin, so he's going to remain tamei. So what should he do? Ya'asena kabin. He should make the dough in small portions, each portion only the size of a kav, which is less than the minimum shear to be mafresh challah, and that way he won't have to be mafresh challah, right? Because if you were to make a large dough, then he'll be obligated to be mafresh challah, and then he'll be making challah tamei. One is not allowed to be metamei challah. But va'al ya'asena b'tumah. But what he should not do is he should not make the challah b'tumah. He should not make a large dough and make a p'tumah. I mean, better to avoid, which normally we do not encourage. Normally, if you have a lot of dough to make, we do not say make tiny little portions and avoid the entire chiyuv of challah. Normally, we encourage people to confront the chiyuv and fulfill the chiyuv. But over here, it's going to be tamei. Better not to have the chiyuv at all. Rabbi Kiva Omer Yasena b'tumah val Yasena kabin. But Rabbi Kiva disagrees. He says better to do the hafrashas challah b'tumah rather than to make it in small shiurim where you're going to avoid the mitzvah entirely. Shekshem shukari l'tara kachu kari. kori latameya, just like you are kori shem chala on chala tahora, so too you're kori shem chala on chala tameya. Lazu kori chala b'shem, lazu kori chala b'shem. Either one is chala. So either way you do it, whether it's tamei or tahora, you have at least fulfilled the mitzvah of hafrashas chala. So what more could you want? Okay, elamai, it's going to be tamei, but what can you do if you're tamei? You can't help that. Aval kabim ein lahem chelak b'shem. But if you were to be mafresh tiny shiurim of tiny amounts of dough, if you were to knead small amounts of dough to avoid a chi of hafrasha, then you simply don't have anything that's kadosh at all. You don't have any mitzvah at all. You don't have any hafrasha schala. So this is the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Akiva, that what is the lesser of two evils? Is the lesser of two evils to at least do the mitzvah of hafrasha schala even though you're being metameh the chala? Or is the lesser of two evils to avoid the mitzvah entirely so that you're not metameh the chala? Mishnah Dalet now. Ha'osei yisoso kabim. If a person makes small little doughs that are one kav each, and therefore they're not chayvim chala independently, but then v'nagu b'zeh, the two doughs touch each other, so p'tur min chala, they're still going to be p'tur from chala. Touching is not enough to be mitzarif them for a chiv chala. Ad she yishochu, they have to bite into each other. What does it mean that they bite into each other? That if you try to pull them apart from each other, you'll be pulling apart some of the neighboring dough as well. That it's only if they're combined in such a way where they're physically connected, where you can't separate them anymore, where completely, then it's going to be a tziruf, and it's going to be they're going to be mesayif to the shear to be chayiv and chala. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, af haroda v'nosin l'sal. And not only if you have two doughs that are biting into each other, even if you have if you take out bread from an oven and you put all the bread from the oven and you put it in the same basket, hasal mitzar from the chala. The basket combines them is mitzayif them for the chayiv chala. Because together, as long as they're in the same basket, that's considered a tziruf. Now, normally, you should be mafresh chala before it ever gets into the oven. But we're assuming that you weren't, and you were never mitzarif them before they went into the oven. And now they're fully baked, and you're putting them in the same basket. Now, you would think that that if they're not biting each other, they're not mitzarif. If they don't bite into each other, so the Bar Tanur says that it's al mitzar from vav pishe noshchos, even though they're not noshchos. V'alach Rabbi Lazar, but we pass like Rabbi Lazar, and he says v'had matzchir rabban neshicha v'Rabbi Lazar negia hani mili litzareif shnei isos yachad she'in b'kalachas kashir. So he says very interesting. The Bar Tanur says first of all he very subtly tells us a chiddush, and that is that the sal, when you put them in the basket, Rabbi Lazar only says they combine with each other if they touch each other. Apparently he holds just being in the same basket is not enough. The Mefarshim on the side of the page of Mishnayos all work on that line of the Bar Tanura, where he seems to assume that they must touch each other, even according to Blazer, they have to touch each other. They just don't need to be noshech into each other. So that's one chiddush that he tells us. The other chiddush that he tells us is that this whole idea that according to the Tanakhama you need neshicha, according to Blazer you need negiyah, that's only as far as being mitzarif them to a shir chala. But if one of the doughs already has a shir chala, and you just want to be yotzei the mitzvah being mafresh min hamukaf from that which is in close proximity, then for sure you don't need neshicha or negiyah. It just needs to be next to each other, and that already would be considered min hamukaf. So to summarize what we learned today, in Mishnah Gimel we learned that while a woman may be mafresh chala when she's unclothed, the man may not, because a woman could always cover her erva if she's sitting down. And we also discussed if someone is unable to be mafresh chala b'tahara because he is tamei, we had a machlokas tanaim. What is the lesser of the two evils? Is it better to be mafresh the chala b'tuma, or better to avoid the entire chiyuv by making very tiny doughs? And then in Mishnah Dalet we said that if you have two doughs that are both smaller than the shir chala, Tanakama says they're only mitzarif to each other if they're no sheikh, they bite one into the other. And Rabbi Eliezer says they're mitzarif even if you put them in the same basket. And the way the Bar Tanur understands, that means that you put them in the same basket and they therefore touch each other. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Perek Bey's Mishnah Hey.